The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. His faithful valet Cato, Britt Reid, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reid in the thrilling adventure, Death Comes to Dinner. The Green Hornet strikes again! Time was when a radio or stage star could scribble in an autograph book and make his fans happy that way. But no longer. At least according to the stars appearing on the Theater Guild on the air. During every rehearsal, the Bobby Soxers wait patiently outside the theater until their favorite actor or actress appears. Then these fans make shots of their idols with small cameras as actual proof to their friends that they came, saw, and conquered. The stars who have created winning roles on Broadway often return to Theater Guild on the Air to relive their parts. Occasionally, well-known actors from Europe will make their first radio appearance on this program. It all adds up to realistic and thrilling drama every Sunday night over most ABC stations when it's time for Theater Guild on the Air. And now, the Green Hornet. Britt Reid, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, was in his office going over the morning mail with his secretary, Lenore Case.
Well, these are the usual letters to the editor, Mr. Reid. I'll send them down to Gunnigan.
Yes, he can sort out the ones he wants to print.
Here's an invitation to dinner for you, Mr. Reid. And at the home of Mr. Finley, the big financier, no less.
Dinner invitation from Finley? That's unusual. He doesn't entertain very much.
Will you go?
Sure, but why not?
He has the swankiest place in the city, they say.
Swanky, all right. An 8-room penthouse on the top of the finest hotel in town.
That's a lot of room for a man who lives alone.
Alone with 4 or 5 servants, you mean.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but... Well, I never thought Mr. Findlay liked you very much.
Well, that's right, he doesn't. He's never forgotten the editorial we ran when he tried to pull that swift market deal that would have netted him $1 million. But we exposed him. That's one reason I want to go to his dinner. I'm curious to know just why he invited me. We'll phone his place and tell him that Britt Reid accepts Mr. Finley's kind invitation.
Yes, sir. I'll call right away.
The following morning, Mike Axford entered Britt Reid's office carrying a copy of the Morning Clarion.
Morning, Reid.
Well, Axford, what brings you in?
I saw something in the Clarion I want to ask you about, Reid.
What is it?
It says here on the society page that old man Carl Findlay is giving a dinner party at his penthouse tonight.
What of it?
I was took by surprise when I read who was going to be there, that's what.
Really? Well, let's see the article. Huh. He's invited Warren, his ex-partner.
Sure. Warren sued him once and lost the case.
Then there's Ted Merrill, the financier whom Finley took over the coals in that quick deal he pulled on the market.
Yeah, Merrill would give his eye teeth to get back at Findlay.
He's also invited George Reese, who was defeated for Congress when Findlay threw his influence against him.
That's right. Reese was fit to be tied at the time. He hates Findlay.
And he's invited me. And believe me, I have no love or respect for Findlay.
Sure, I know that. That's why I was interested in reading about the dinner party he's thrown for the Faria. I don't get it.
Neither do I. And I'm going just to find out why he did invite us.
The others will go for the same reason, no doubt.
Yes, they will. I'm looking forward to a very pleasant evening, to say the least. Yes, Miss Kate?
Mr. Reed, Mr. Merrill of Finn and Sears on the line.
Ted Merrill? Good. I'll take the call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Reed.
Hello?
Hello, Britt. This is Ted Merrill.
Oh, yes, Ted. How are you?
Fine. I'm calling to ask if you've accepted Finley's invitation to dinner tonight.
Yes, I have. How about you?
Well, I did, too, and so did the other two. I phoned to find out.
Frankly, I'm curious to know why he's giving the dinner for us.
We all are. Finley never entertains. And every one of us, well, have reason to dislike him very much. The other two and myself much more than you have, as a matter of fact.
Well, maybe the old boy's had a change of heart.
Not Carl Finley. He has something up his sleeve. And I think all of us should be on our guard when we're there with him.
I'm hoping to get a good story out of it for the Sentinel myself.
Well, I'm glad you're going. Whatever he's up to, it ought to prove to be an interesting evening.
I'm counting on that, Ted. I'll see you at the dinner tonight.
Okay, Britt. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That evening, before his guests had arrived, Carl Finley, an irascible, dictatorial type of man, was giving final instructions to Benson, his butler.
Benson, these men who are coming here to dine with me are all my enemies. I hate every one of them. And they hate me just as much.
Yes, sir.
I want to wine and dine them all well. Then I'll gloat over them a bit before I tell them why I invited them. I'm going to enjoy this evening, Benson.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
After you serve the coffee and liqueur, plug in the extension phone. I may want to use it. Then I want you and the cook to go out. Understand?
We shall leave immediately, sir.
Good, good. What I have to say to those men is none of your business. I don't want any snooping servants listening at doors. I want to be alone with my so-called guests. These four men who consider themselves bigwigs will squirm tonight like they never squirmed before. Now get out and get ready for my guests.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Later, Carl Finley sat at the head of the well-appointed table and eyed his rather quiet guests as they started to eat the dessert that had been placed before them.
Well, gentlemen, needless to say, this has been a very quiet dinner party.
It has been rather quiet at that, Mr. Finley.
Just why did you bring us together like this?
That's what Ted'd like to know.
Now that your curiosity is asserting itself, gentlemen, I hope your state of mind hasn't prevented any one of you from enjoying his dinner tonight.
On the contrary, Finley. I've enjoyed the dinner immensely. You have a marvelous cook. But why not get to the point as to the reason for inviting us here?
Reed, at least you have the courage to speak up.
Courage? I didn't realize it took courage to speak to one's host, Finley. Especially when that host is you, if I may put it bluntly.
Good, good, good. I like your mettle, even though I hate your publishing methods, Reed. But then, you're trying to fill the shoes of your father, and it's evident that they just don't fit.
I'll let that pass, Finley. Anything else?
Yes, there is. In my opinion, you're a young upstart, a playboy, wasting your time in nightclubs and pretending to know how to run a newspaper.
It's easy to see you don't entertain very often, Finley. Or you'd have learned that a host doesn't usually insult his guest.
Don't make me laugh. I have you all here for a purpose. The dinner invitation was a stall to get you here.
Okay, we're here. So what?
Yes. Come to the point, Findlay.
And you, Warren, a weakling. Ain't know nothing in the financial world. As a partner, I found you out for what you were. And thank heaven I ditched you in time.
Why, you...
Getting sore, hmm? Good, good. That's what I want to see. You always were afraid of me, Warren. And we'd grown to hate each other more and more.
Hate is a mild word for it, Findlay.
Don't let him get your goat, Warren. That's what he seems to be trying to do.
Ah. So Merrill, the smart financial operator, who lost his shirt trying to buck me in a deal, sticks his nose into it, eh?
I've heard enough. I'm leaving.
Sit down, sit down. After all, you haven't satisfied your curiosity as to why I brought you here, Merrill. You might as well find out.
I didn't come here to take your insults, Findlay.
Of course you did. You knew I'd tell you off, all of you. But you came anyway. So sit down.
All right. I will stay so that I can tell these gentlemen what I really think of you, Findlay.
Why waste words? They know already.
You're not kidding.
By this time, you should have learned what we all think of you, Findlay.
Ah, George Reese speaks up at last. Now there's a man who thought he was capable of going to Congress. Had the gall to think he could really win the votes. But I, Carl Findlay, stopped him. So he hates me for it as much as I hate him.
There's a lot of hate flowing around this table tonight. You're not the likable type, Finley.
I thrive on hate. I make no friends.
You can say that again.
Friends are parasites, in my opinion. Out for what they can get from a person.
Any friends of yours would die of hunger before you'd help them.
Laugh, laugh, all of you. You can have your so-called friends, but I have money, power. I've bucked you all and won. That's why you hate me, and I hate you.
You made a slight mistake. I bucked you and won. And it cost you $1 million.
I'll win over you yet, Britt Reed. Wait and see.
Gentlemen, I suggest we thank our host for a delightful dinner and leave right now.
Now, wait. Now, I'll tell you why I had you come here. I received this note a few days ago.
What's it say?
Listen to this. Sometime, somehow, I'm going to get to you. Because I hate you, I'm going to kill you. The note is not signed.
What does that have to do with us, Findlay?
Just this. I feel that you four men are the only ones who really have reason to hate me enough to kill me. So I figure that one of you sent this note. One of you is a potential murderer.
That's ridiculous, Findlay. We might take a rap at you, yes. But as for wanting to commit murder, that's another thing entirely.
That's what you say, Britt Weed. But I wouldn't put it past even you.
I resent that, Findlay.
Go ahead and resent it. That's the way I feel about it.
If you weren't such an old fool, I'd show my resentment more forcibly.
With a gun, perhaps? Well, what about the rest of you? Which one of you sent me that note?
This is most ridiculous.
I've had enough of this, Tommy Rock.
Yes, and so have I. Let's get out of here. This man's going mad.
Mad, am I? So you all want to leave, do you? Well, the doors are locked. You'll stay until I want you to go. Do you hear?
I believe he's lost his mind.
This is the strangest. The lights.
What's happened?
Who put out the lights?
I'll find a switch.
Now look over by the door.
Look. Look at Findlay.
Great Scott. Something's happened to him. Look here.
What's the matter?
He's been stabbed. Findlay is dead.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment. Sometimes we wonder why Willie Piper ever plans things. No matter how well-intentioned Willie's acts may be, something always goes wrong. On second thought, maybe it's best that Willie does get into those hilarious situations. If he didn't, our Sunday night Willie Piper show wouldn't be the delightful comedy it is. Then there are the heartwarming characters who make up the cast. There's Willie, a blundering, good-natured newlywed who's still amazed that he's married, Martha, his lovable young wife, Mr. Gillespie, his domineering father-in-law, and Mr. Bissell, who's never without his bike. Combine the situations and the characters, and you've got a show you're sure to enjoy. Hear the tales of Willie Piper tonight, broadcast over most of these same ABC stations. And now, back to the Green Hornet. As Britt Reed leaned over Findlay and announced that he was dead, the others were dumbfounded.
Dead? Are you sure, Britt?
Absolutely. Somebody, one of the men in this room, turned out the lights. Then stabbed Findlay.
It could have been any one of us. We were all wandering around the room.
Findlay said the doors were locked. We'll soon find out. Well, the door is locked. He must have the key on him. Here it is.
Let's get out of here, Reed. There'll be a big scandal about this, and I...
Sorry, Reese. All four of us have to stay here until the police come.
The police?
Yes. I'll call them right now.
It was some time later when Inspector Evans from police headquarters faced the four prominent men in Findlay's penthouse living room.
Gentlemen, so far we've reached no conclusion from our questioning here tonight. We know someone in this room used one of Mr. Findlay's silver table knives to cause his death.
Have you had a report on any fingerprints that might have been found on that knife, Inspector?
Yes, Mr. Reed.
What was the report, Inspector?
I'm sorry, Mr. Merrill, but the information I received is confidential. When the proper time comes, all of you will know the result of the fingerprint test.
Inspector, regardless of what you found out, I insist that you make some arrangements to let us go home. You can't hold all of us for this crime.
I suggest, gentlemen, that you all come to headquarters. Whatever arrangements are to be made can be made there.
Well, that should be agreeable to everyone, Inspector.
Yes,
all right. Very well, then. We'll go to police headquarters now. Come along, gentlemen.
It was much later that night when Britt Reed went to his apartment where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting. Britt told Cato about the tragedy that had taken place at Findlay's apartment.
We're all under suspicion, Cato. The police allowed us to leave after accepting our personal bonds.
But in case like this, police move with caution, perhaps.
Yes, those men are all prominent. The police don't want to make a false move. It would be embarrassing because the papers would play it up.
Well, that's true. But it's not good that you be in room two when Findlay get murdered, Mr. Britt.
I intend to do what I can to bring the killer to light, Cato.
Well, how you do that? Police watch, perhaps.
They won't be watching the Green Hornet. Maybe he can find out something.
Green Hornet go out tonight?
Yes. It's best to strike while the iron's hot and before the others have a chance to confer with their attorneys. Let's go, Cato.
Where we go, Mr. Britt?
The Green Hornet is going to pay a visit to each of the other guests that Findlay had to dinner tonight. Perhaps by working on their nerves, I can get the guilty one to the breaking point. Then, as Britt Reed, I'm going to suggest a plan to Inspector Evans that may crack the case.
Which one Hornet go to see first?
I'll go first to Merrill's place. Step on it, Cato.
Meantime, Ted Merrill was sitting at the desk in his study, thinking of the events that had taken place earlier in the evening. Suddenly, he was startled by hearing a voice.
Well, Merrill, worrying about the spot you're in?
Oh, what the? The Green Hornet. Why have you come here like this?
Maybe I know just who it was who killed Findlay, Merrill.
Then you know more than the police do. Why don't you tell them what you know about it?
Maybe I will. If I can't make a deal with the killer.
Get out!
Get out of here.
I'll call the police right now and tell them about this.
In that case, I'll leave. Be seeing you again. So long.
A short time later, George Reese, whom Findlay had opposed in his political ambitions, was pacing the floor in his library. Suddenly, he looked up as one of the French windows opened and a sinister figure stepped in.
What's the idea of coming here wearing a mask? And you must be the Green Hornet.
Right the first time, Reese.
What do you want? If this is a whole up,
I'm here to discuss Findlay's murder, Reese.
Findlay's murder? What can you know about that?
Maybe I know all about it.
That's impossible.
Is it? Of course, if the killer wants to make a deal, I'll keep what I know to myself.
A deal? What kind of a deal?
Oh, let's say for $20,000, I could forget about it.
Well, you're not getting $20,000 from me. Not even $1, Hornet. Do you understand that?
Okay. If that's the way you feel about it.
That's just the way I feel about it. And what's more, you made a mistake in coming here. I'll hold you here with this gun, then turn you over to the police.
No, you won't, Reese. Go on.
Stop! Come back here!
A short time later, Britt Reed crouched on the fire escape outside Mr. Warren's bedroom window. Findlay's ex-partner sat on the edge of the bed, smoking nervously.
Warren's worrying like the other two. Well, might as well go in.
Who's that? What do you want?
Quiet, Warren!
Put down that gun. Why have you come in here like this? Who are you?
Take a closer look.
Green Hornet.
That's right. And you and I are going to have a talk about the Findlay killing.
I can't tell you anything about that. I was there when it happened, that's all.
You had a good reason to kill him, Warren.
So had the others, every one of them.
Perhaps I know who killed Findlay.
You have no way of knowing.
That's what you think.
Then tell me what you do know, Hornet.
I'd rather keep you guessing. Of course, if you want to make a deal, maybe we can get together.
A deal?
That's right. For $20,000, I promise not to tip off the police.
I don't believe you know anything. I won't deal with you. Now get out. Get out, you hear?
All right. If that's the way you want it. But don't forget I gave you a chance, Warren. See you again.
What'd you find out, Mr. Britt?
Each of them is very much worried, Cato. Of course, I didn't get a hint as to which one did it. But I believe the real killer will have a bad case of nerves because of my visit.
But how you hope to get results from making visits?
The killer will be in a very nervous state. Tomorrow, I'm going to make a proposition to Inspector Evans. If he's willing to go through with it, it may bring the killer to light.
You think Inspector will listen to proposition under circumstances?
Well, he'd have nothing to lose. Especially since I gave him a bit of evidence I picked up at the scene of the crime. Let's head for home.
The next day, Britt Reed visited Inspector Evans. And after a long discussion, it was agreed upon that the inspector would request the men who had dined with Findlay to attend a luncheon in a private room at headquarters. At the appointed hour, the party gathered at the table. Inspector Evans spoke.
Let's drink our sherry first, gentlemen. It'll settle our nerves. Well, here's to a quick solution of the Findlay murder. Waiter, move the glasses and serve the luncheon.
Yes, sir.
Now, gentlemen, this case is an unusual one. All of you, the suspects, are prominent men. You all had reason to despise Mr. Findlay. One of you took his life.
Get to the point, please, Inspector. This gathering in itself is very unusual.
Yes, I know. And I appreciate the cooperation you've all shown by coming here. Of course, I do have the authority to demand your presence, but I prefer it this way.
Well, just what is the purpose of this luncheon, Inspector?
Yes, that's what I'd like to know. I gave up an important appointment to come here, sir.
Oh, really, Mr. Warren? That's too bad, but keep in mind that you, along with the rest, are a suspect in a murder case.
I, for one, appreciate the manner in which Inspector Evans is handling this case.
Well, thank you, Mr. Reed. All right, waiter. Serve the luncheon.
Yes.
Now, gentlemen, I suggest that you eat the lunch that's before you, and then I promise the purpose of this gathering will be very plain to all of you.
This note is for you, Inspector.
Oh, thank you. Wait outside.
Yes, sir.
Now, gentlemen, I'll get right to the point.
That's what we're waiting for.
I hope so. I'll have to be leaving soon.
Well, this is more important, Mr. Warren, than anything else you could be thinking of.
What's in the note, if I may ask, sir?
I'm just about to tell you, Mr. Merrill. You see, when you drank your sherry, I had the waiter take the glasses out immediately after.
I noticed that.
It was done for a definite purpose. Get the fingerprints of all of you.
Fingerprints?
Yes. You see, on the silver table knife that was used to kill Findlay, we found a thumbprint.
That couldn't be so, Inspector. It's not possible.
There's your killer, Inspector.
No. What right have you to say that? Maybe you, Reed, are trying to cover up for yourself.
Maybe this will clinch things, Warren.
Blood-stained handkerchief?
Right, and with your initial on it, Warren. A W.
Warren, you are too positive that there couldn't be a fingerprint on the knife. That means you were the only one who knew the killer held a handkerchief over the handle when he used the weapon on Findlay. You killed him.
Why, you are... I'll give you what I gave Findlay right
what
now.
Yes, and I... I'm not old man Findlay, Warren.
No.
Sorry, gentlemen. That was necessary. There's your murderer, Inspector.
Thanks, Britt. Saved the others a lot of needless worry by planning this. You see, gentlemen, Mr. Reed found that handkerchief in the wastebasket in Findlay's apartment and gave it to me. Thanks to him, we found the killer.
I thought maybe the Green Hornet tipped you off in regard to the real killer, Inspector.
The Hornet? Nonsense. Don't mention him in the same breath with a man like Britt Reed. Mr. Reed's a chap who really thinks things out. And how.
Remember, the thrilling adventures of David Harding Counterspy are heard every Sunday afternoon over the network of the American Broadcasting Company. They are experiences you'll want to hear. Entertaining, dramatic, exciting experiences. Perhaps you've read stories in the newspapers of how spies have been captured. Do you recall the story of the two men who landed in Maine, whose footsteps were traced along the New England shore? The tale of a beautiful woman who was set out to gather the secrets of American officers. These are cases you've heard, but there are other stories you'll want to hear. Stories that David Harding Counterspy will tell you. So for daring adventure, listen to David Harding Counterspy, heard every Sunday afternoon over most of these ABC stations. And be sure to listen to the Green Hornet next week at this same time. These copyrighted dramas originate in the studios of WXYZ Detroit, and all characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious. Hal Neal speaking. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.